And usually before I preach, I'll take a, I don't know, week, week and a half, and really consider what it is that I'm going to be speaking on. Think about how it applies in my life and the lives of those around me. And then look at God's word and prepare to speak. And so about a week and a half ago is when I started this process of preparing for today. And I spent 3 days at the end of that week in Toronto, Canada, buying a franchise for the company that I work for. While I was gone, half of our company quit at our Eastern Ohio division. So I had the privilege and honor of going up to Eastern Ohio when I got back on Tuesday and firing the other half of the company. So now we have zero employees. All the while, thinking about this message on clarity, not knowing, I didn't know my left from my right, up from down, my from a hole in the ground. I mean, it's been a heck of a week. And so as I'm thinking about this, you know, I was at least given an easy sermon on clarity. Brian and I talked a month or so ago, and we kind of divvied up what we were each going to speak on, and he gave me the easy one. He told me that I could speak today on clarity in our life's purpose. Piece of cake, right? Okay, so we're done. But in considering this, I always find it very helpful to talk with a multitude of people. You know, there's a scripture that says that there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so for the past week, or actually for the past month or so, really, I've had conversations with a lot of different people in my life, and I've asked this question. I've said, do you have clarity on your life's purpose? Do you know your life's purpose? And so I'd ask that of you this morning as well. Do you know your life's purpose? Do you have clarity in your life's purpose? And I want to read to you some of the answers that I received from people so that I don't mess these up. These are quotes, so I'll just go ahead and read these. The first one is this. So I asked, do you have clarity? Do you know what your life purpose is? Good question. I should really think about that. So that was the first person I talked to. The second person I talked to said, I have no idea. That was the end of that conversation. And thank you. Third person said, I don't freaking know. I don't freaking know. Okay? I asked another person and they said, boy, that's deep. And maybe I need to get a different group of counselors. I don't know. And then the other person I asked, he says, does everyone have a purpose? You know, when you ask somebody a question and they answer you back with a question, it means that's not really an answer. You know, like when my wife says, do I look nice in this? And you say, well, how do you feel? You're not really answering the question at that point. And then the other person I asked, and I appreciated this one, the guy said, and this was just on Friday of last week, I said, do you know your life's purpose? And he said, not really, but I sense that it's big. All right? I thought that was good. I think maybe some of us can relate to that. So what I discovered in continuing these conversations about the purpose of our lives is that as we consider what the purpose of our life is, I think the following days and the following weeks, as we're thinking about that, result in another conversation that goes on in our minds, and that is this. You know, I think there's a lot of us, including myself, who wake up in the morning sometimes, and we turn when our feet hit the floor. We're kind of still groggy, and we say to ourselves, what the hell does it matter? What is the point of all of this? Am I making a difference? Or we look at our lives and we go, you know what? I'm just not really passionate about anything anymore. We ask ourselves questions like, am I making a difference? And then the big one is, am I going to be remembered? And I think those questions are closely tied to having clarity in our purpose. And when we lack that clarity in our purpose, I think we lose sight of why we do what we do. When we lack clarity in our purpose, I feel like we lose sight of why we do what we do. Why we invest time where we invest it. Why we invest our money where we invest it. Why when we get up in the morning and our feet hit the floor, we put our clothes on and we go do whatever it is that we're doing. I think if we lack clarity in our purpose, largely we're doing all that stuff not knowing why we're doing it. We're just going about the motions of life, finding ourselves wherever we're finding ourselves. Because I really believe that purpose, having clarity in our purpose, defines our priorities, sets our priorities. Once you have clarity in your purpose, once when you're asked, what's the purpose of your life, and you can answer that question, then the answer to that question directs the priorities of your life. It directs how you spend your money. It directs who you spend your time with. It directs how you spend your time. It directs how you lead your family and your friends. It directs your conversations. And so I've shared with you guys the responses that I got to having these conversations with some people. And at this point in my preparing for the message, that was the information that I had. And so I did what any of the rest of us would do when we're seeking information. I Googled it. That's exactly right. So I got on my computer and I Googled, what is my life purpose? That's the way I think most of us would Google it, right? I thought, what's the most common way to ask the question? What is my life purpose? And Google came back with 916 million responses in 0.33 seconds. So clearly, I'm not the only person asking the question, what's my life purpose? 916 million responses in 0.33 seconds. And so I got pretty excited, and I thought, with 916 million web pages to look at, I'm going to discover my life purpose. Right? So, all that information available, how could I not? And so I went ahead and I opened up the first web page it was at the top of the search, which means this one's got the best information, right? That's how those web searches work. When you Google whatever it is you're looking for, the one at the top is the one with the best information. I think that's how our culture's been trained to think. So I opened the first one, and here's what I discovered on my way to trying to get clarity on my life's purpose. To calculate your purpose, you take your birth month plus your birth day plus your birth year. You add those together, which gives you a four-digit number. And then you add those four digits together, which gives you a two-digit number. And then you add those two digits together, and that gives you a one-digit number. And so I went ahead and did this for myself, and I found that I was a birth path four. And here's what it says about birth path four's life purpose. My life purpose is technical and scientific. If you know me, you know how true this is. It brings into being a very systematic, technical, stable, patient, and scientifically analytical nature. The four's life purpose is to seek understanding in life, delving into matter and form, searching for secrets in nature and materiality. The keynote of the four is practicality, and their duty is to find the basic principle governing matter and form. That, apparently, is my life purpose. Clear, right? Off I go. So I wasn't really all that excited about that, so I went on to the second webpage for discovering my life purpose. And I felt like this one was a lot more useful, and maybe one that you could try. And so I went ahead and tried it at home before I wanted to recommend it to you guys. And this one, you go home and you take out a blank piece of paper and you write at the top of the blank piece of paper, what is my life purpose? And then below that, you just start writing short phrases until you get to the phrase that makes you burst into tears. And that is your life purpose. So, of course, I tried this before I could recommend it. And so I'll just read to you what I had on my list and then the moment. So here's my list. To pastor. The second one was to grow and develop businesses. The third one was to hike through the woods. The fourth one was to run long distances. The fifth one was to summit Mount Everest. And this went on and on and on. I wrote and wrote and wrote, and then the moment hit me. To dance ballet as though I were weightless. And I wept like a child. I mean, these are the top searches on Google for discovering your life purpose. Can you believe it? We have a confused culture. So, of course, I realized that wasn't working, and I went on to the final and third website, and I read this. And this is a five-step process, so I figured five steps must be pretty good, right? So the first one is to make a list of all the things you do for fun. So on a piece of paper, I made a list of all the things I do for fun: hiking, enjoying a nice meal, camping, singing in the shower. So that was my list of things I do for fun. Step number two is to write down the names of the people I admire. So I wrote down MacGyver, Chris Farley, and Jesus. So that was my group. And then step number three was to make a list of the things I do naturally without even thinking about it. A couple I won't share with you, but I did come up with breathe. I have restless legs. I don't try that. It just happens. And then Bria tells me that I swish my coffee in my mouth. And that's something I do and don't think about. So that was my list. I breathe, I have restless legs, and I swish my coffee in my mouth. And then the fourth one was to look at my lists and to spend 10 minutes each morning doing what was on those lists. And so this morning I got up, and I sang in the shower. I took a moment to admire Chris Farley, MacGyver, and Jesus silently, and then I swished my coffee in my mouth. Now, here's the fifth one says, notice how you feel. This is your life purpose. Now, I thought this was great. It had a disclaimer after that. Here's what the disclaimer says. If you don't feel alive, vibrant, and exhilarated, go back to your lists and see what you may have missed. If you don't feel alive, vibrant, and exhilarated, go back to your lists and see what you may have missed. As though going back to that list and adding something is going to cause you the next morning when you spend 10 minutes doing it to feel alive, exhilarated. We are a confused culture. These were the top searches for what is my life purpose. So after I spent all this time that I'll never get back looking for my life purpose, I decided to do something even a little more unconventional. And I opened my Bible to Romans chapter 8. And this is what it says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. If you have a program, you can begin following along if you'd like. But Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. How many of you have heard this verse at a point in your life? Okay. I've been involved with the church for quite a while, and this is the portion of this verse that I would always hear. Everything works together for the good of those who love God. And I've got a friend who uses this verse to bring credibility to all of his bad decisions. I can sign up for a big mortgage because all things work together for those who love God. And I love God. I can enter into a poor business relationship because all things work together for the good of those who love God. And I love God. I can make poor choices with my life, and that's okay. It's not going to catch up to me because everything works together for the good of those who love God. And I love God. But this verse goes on to say, and are called according to whose purpose? His purpose for them. And so the things that work good, we work together for the good of those who love God. They only work together for the good of those who love God when they're doing His purpose. So just because we love God doesn't mean we can go do our purpose and believe it's going to work out. Because all things work together for the good of those who love God. All things work together for the good of those who love God because we're on His plan. We're living in His purpose. Proverbs clarifies this even a little bit better, I think, in chapter 19. It says, you can make many plans. And we do, don't we? You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Whose purpose? The Lord's. We can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Is it possible that those 916 million responses on Google in 0.33 seconds were responses to the wrong question? To the wrong question, what is my purpose? Is that possible? Let's go on to Jeremiah. I think this will help us even more. Jeremiah 29. For I know, who knows? God, right? For I know the plans, who has? He has, right? God knows the plans that He has for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Is it possible we're asking the wrong question? What is my life purpose? What is my life purpose? What is my life purpose? Me, 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 me. What is my life purpose? So as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know what? I had such good luck with Google the first time. I'll go back and I'll search, what is God's purpose for my life? What is God's purpose for my life? And what I discovered is that not nearly as many people are asking that question. 5 out of every 100. 5 out of every 100. So for every 100 people who ask, what is my life purpose? There are 5 people asking, what's God's purpose for me? There might be 100 of us in the room this morning. I think 95 of us have probably spent up to this point in our life and maybe even today asking the question, what is my life purpose? When we should be asking, what is God's purpose for me? So, I believe we are asking the wrong question. And at this point, you're now thinking to yourself, so what is God's purpose for me? Well, thanks for asking. Let's look at Romans 12. I pulled up just a few verses. There's a ton of verses in Scripture, but I pulled up just 4 or 5 about what might be God's purpose for you. What might be God's purpose for you? Romans 12:12. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. What God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think in your program, the word transformed is in bold. Is it possible that God's purpose for you is to be transformed? Is that possible? 1 Thessalonians 5. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the what? God's will for you in Christ. Is it possible that God's purpose for you is to be joyful? To pray continually? To give thanks? Is that possible that his purpose for you is that? John 15. This is my commandment. Commandment's stronger than a recommendation. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Is it possible that God's purpose for you is to love each other? Is that possible? That God's purpose, the reason you exist, is to love each other. And then again in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the what? The what? The will of God. Your sanctification. Sanctification really is just that process of your life being refined. Your life reflecting more of what Christ's life reflected. So is it possible that God's purpose for your life is your sanctification? So being transformed, joyful, prayerful, thankful, loving each other, being sanctified, these things and others that are listed in Scripture under the will of God, is it possible that those things are God's purpose for you? My response to that is, wah, wah. I mean, really, be honest. As you guys thought about your life purpose, growing up, and even maybe in your life right now, as you thought about your life, as you think about your life purpose, don't you picture these big things? Don't you picture making a splash? Don't you picture being remembered? Don't you picture leaving a legacy, financially or otherwise? All these big things that we picture as our life purpose. And then you look at Scripture and it says that your life purpose might very well be, if you align it with God's purpose for your life, it might very well be to be transformed, to be joyful, to love each other, to be thankful. To me, that's like, wah, wah. It's not real exciting. What a letdown. So a few years ago, I was pondering this question in my own life. What is God's purpose for me? And I was in one of those seasons that maybe a few of you here today are in, where you're waking up in the morning and going, what the hell's the point? What's the purpose? What am I doing this for? What does it matter? I was there a few years ago. And in that season, I went away. I was actually pastoring at the time in Colorado, and I went up to the mountains for 3 days to just get some focus on what God wanted for my life. And resigning from the church in Colorado was one thing, but I felt like I, in that trip, got clarity on what my life purpose is, what God's purpose for my life is. And I'm going to share it with you this morning just so you can hear it, not so you can say, that's what I want mine to be, but just so you can hear it. And so you can also hold me accountable to it. Because as I know what my life purpose is, it means my life needs to, my priorities need to function under that. So I share it for both reasons. And also because when I discovered it, it was like, really? That's it? I thought it was going to be so much more. But I have certainty and clarity that this is what my life purpose, what God's purpose is for me. To love my wife. There's three things. To love my wife. Regardless of what that looks like to family members, to society, regardless of how I do it, regardless of how our family works, to love my wife. For her sake, for my sake, because There's a lot of scripture that talks about that, and for my kids' sake. The second one is to love my kids. Like, to genuinely love my kids. My kids are 8, 6, and 3. My boys are 6 and 3. I still kiss my boys on the lips. I tell them I love them 10 times a day. I know that's going to change as they get older. I don't imagine I'll be kissing them on the lips when they're 16. Maybe I will. But to love my kids so they know what love feels like and so they can receive and give love. And the last one's to love people. To love people. And what I discovered when I was at that cabin is that loving people doesn't mean I have to have a pastoral title. Loving people is a purpose that God has placed in my heart. So to really listen, to really love, to really care, to really shoulder the burdens of other people as I discern what those are. To love other people. And so that's it. That was what I discovered God's purpose for my life is. And not right now, not today, but from here on. I believe that's what my purpose is. And if I'm honest about it, I still feel a little let down by it. I was really hoping it'd be huge and grand and big. And what I believe I'm seeing as I just live in this purpose, in God's purpose, in the simpleness of it, is that God's opening up the grand. The opportunity to come and to share at Cobblestone once a month or on a regular basis wasn't on my radar. God opened that up. Other opportunities in life that I have, God's opening those up. And so is it possible that as you and I focus on God's purpose for our life, as mundane and as simple and as straightforward as those things are, be joyful. If that's the purpose that God has laid out in front of you, is it possible that if we focus on being joyful as our purpose, as God's purpose for us, that God will open up the grand around us? Is that possible? Or do we need to focus on the grand and not worry about being joyful? So, I believe our culture, I believe each of us are asking the wrong question. And I think there's one more mistake that each of us make in our attempt to figure out God's purpose for our life. And this is a mistake that I believe is inherent in each of us from our childhood. Were you ever asked as a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? Were you ever asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? All of us have been, right? I've asked my kids, and we dream about what will our kids be when they grow up. And I think in that question lies a belief system that it's about tomorrow. What do you want to be when you finally grow up? And then as from a child on, we live looking forward. What am I going to be when I grow up? And then you grow up and you're still asking the question. And you're always looking forward. What's it going to be like when we get that next house? What's it going to be like when I get married? What's it going to be like when I get remarried? What's it going to be like when I own that car? What's it going to be like when I start that business or I get that new career? So I believe from our childhood up, that question of what do you want to be when you grow up sticks with us, and it causes us to always be looking ahead. And so how do we gain clarity in our life purpose? Psalm chapter 118. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So there's a blank in your program at the end. God's purpose for your life is today. God's purpose for your life is today. I'd like to invite the band up. God's purpose for your life is today. What are you doing with it? Are you overlooking it because you're trying to find out what your purpose is? Or are you overlooking today's plan because tomorrow's got to be better? God's purpose for your life is today. Wherever you're at is where He wants you. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that You would somehow, in a way that only You can, through Your Word and through Your presence in our lives, bring each of us clarity as to what Your purpose is for us. God, I pray that in the coming hours, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, that we as a body here at Cobblestone would begin to understand more and have greater clarity on what our purpose is, individually and corporately. And God, whatever it is, even if it's something that we feel is not grand, that we would fully embrace it, that we would fully live in it, believing that ultimately, God, Your purpose for our lives is far better, far greater, far grander than any purpose we can concoct on our own or dream up. So God, give us clarity that You're using today, You're using the moments in our lives as our ongoing purpose, the ongoing purpose that You've called us to. It's in Christ's name. Amen.